It must be a month or more ago now, we talked about trying to get back into a social life. And some of you had some challenges with things like small talk and impatience with people and such. And so I've been doing a little studying about that, and I'd like to talk about re-emerging into society. I think that by now, you guys have had a little practice. So this may be less relevant, but I think it is still relevant because there's some interesting things that I learned that we need to keep in mind with ourselves as we become social again. So I want to take 2 weeks to talk about this. Today I want to talk about re-engaging, actually. So Uncle Don, you haven't started yet, so this is going to be good for you to pay attention to, or not, but it might be of interest. Don't want to tell you have to pay attention to me just because I'm talking. Now I've distracted myself. Re-engaging, things that we need to bear in mind with ourselves as we get back into more social activities. And then next week, I want to talk about sort of reinventing ourselves or reassessing, looking back at what's been useful or what we've learned, things that we might want to change, changes that we made that we might want to keep, or things that we can learn to do differently. But that's all next week. Today, I want to talk about the actual getting back into society. And it's challenging. And the first thing I would like to emphasize is that we need to take it seriously. You know, if we're finding that we're irritable or that we, don't know how to greet somebody, we don't remember how to have conversation, these are real things. And we shouldn't be laughing at ourselves or whatever we want to do, but rather be gentle with ourselves as we ease back into society. So there's actually been quite a lot of research on the effects of social isolation, which is what we've all been experiencing for a year, even though we've been on Zoom a lot and on the phone a lot. We have been more isolated than ever in the past year. And it turns out that that has an effect on us. It's not just emotional, but it actually changes our brains a bit. And that's why we need to take the reemergence seriously. So I want to tell you a little bit about some of the effects of social isolation, because there's a lot more to this than I thought. Research has been done on real isolation, like prisoners in solitary confinement. There's a project called the Mars 500 program, when they put a bunch of people away for, I can't remember, 3 months or something, to see if people could survive going to Mars or living on Mars. Remote scientists, people who work in Antarctica, for example, or go to remote areas and just don't have much social stuff going on. And also mice, so that they can cut open their brains and look at physical changes. Actually, I hope they don't do it by cutting open their brains, but anyway, mice. So what they discovered is that social isolation causes actual changes to the gray matter in our brain. It affects a number of different places of interest, the parts of our brain that are connected with learning and memory. And I can't tell you exactly what the changes are, but it's the way I visualize it had to do with connections getting smaller. So it's not just an emotional change, it's an actual change to our brain that we need to sort of exercise it back up into social skill. And there's this long list this whole thing here is all lists of symptoms of or effects of isolation. So see if any of these sound familiar to you. Top of the list, brain fog. That's me. Loss of cognitive functioning, loss of concentration, poor memory, difficulty making decisions, depression, heightened emotions and irritability. Things that used to not bug you do. In this situation, it might be people who are not following protocol make us a lot more angry than they might have done a year ago. Sluggishness and lethargy. I think we probably all noticed that. Can affect your sleep, can affect your immune system, can affect your endocrine system. That's your hormones, I think. If you have mental health issues, obviously it can exacerbate them or uncover them if you hadn't been aware of them. It can exacerbate other pre-existing conditions like Alzheimer's or heart conditions. Simply being socially isolated can do this to you. And this is what really I found quite staggering, that it increases the mortality rate because of all of these other things that it does. It increases the mortality rate an amount equivalent to if you started smoking 15 cigarettes a day. So that is how much social isolation can affect us. And of course, people at risk are going to be more at risk. The elderly and people with pre-existing conditions. And not really surprisingly, lower income populations. And Uncle Don, I'm sorry to say this, but men seem to be more affected than women. They have a bigger, the effect is bigger on men than on women. That is not to say it's small on women, but to say that from my experience, what it feels like to me, it's even worse in general for men. And so that's, I won't say what I was just going to say because it was going to be sarcastic, but yeah. So we're talking about real issues here. We're not talking about just, I liked being home alone and now I have to go back and talk to people. These are real things that we have to consider. And then there's also another real thing is loss of skills, because we haven't been practicing. And, you know, something like small talk is an obvious skill that we've lost, and I'll get to that in a minute. But there's a lot of things we're going to feel awkward about, like how are we going to greet people? Are we okay shaking hands again? Are we going to do the elbow bump or a fist bump, just a wave or a namaste? There's going to be awkwardness around that. And everyone is going to come back with different ideas. If someone reaches out to shake your hand and you're not comfortable with that, what are you going to do about it? There's that sort of thing. Looking at the small talk and conversations, our focus for the past year has been on really important stuff. Like, do I need to wear a mask here? Is this the right mask to use? Is it safe to go see the doctor, or should I wait until numbers have dropped? You know, I have to balance the danger of getting sick with the current symptoms continuing. That, you know, this is sort of serious stuff we've been dealing with for a year. Missing people we love, bereavement for some of us, the fear that comes with us. So it's like we haven't, what is there, how do you do small talk when that has been the vast majority of our, you know, thoughts and experience for the past year? How do you just start talking about the weather, which seems so unimportant? And then the other thing is that we haven't done anything for the past year. You know, what are we going to talk about? We're going to talk about what we've been watching on streaming TV. We're going to be watching about or talking about how badly the government is doing with this and that. We're going to be talking about numbers going up and people not following protocols. And that doesn't make really good small talk either. So when we go back to socializing, first of all, let's recognize that small talk is going to be hard, but it's also important. Because when you just go out for the first time to your jazz bar in Chicago, you know, and the people next to you are, you know, you toast each other and they say, "How are you doing?" They don't really want to hear about how many sick people are in your family and how many friends have lost their jobs, right? It's important to be able to make those superficial connections because that's actually a real connection. In some cases, that's all you do when it's the people you're talking with in line at the grocery store. Superficial is enough, but the option is either way too deep or ignoring the people, which is a possibility, especially if you're an introvert, but it's not always, you know, there's benefit to be had from just a small connection. Yeah, not good at keeping shallow for long, but it's where you start a lot of times, and it's where you make that sort of deeper personal connection. You know, you look someone in the eye and you say, you know, "What a great sale on vegetables today." But that connection, it's just something to say so that you can make a little connection. So I don't think we should disparage small talk. I think there's a definite place for it. And I also agree that there's an art to it. You know, you also want to be honest. You're not just talking about complete nonsense. Well, sometimes I am, but the small talk is there for connection purposes. And at some point, if you want to get to know someone, you're going to have to go a bit deeper than small talk. But we're better at that now. We're better at the deep talking over this past year. I think we've learned to talk on a deeper level. But we need to relearn the small talk. I'll talk in a minute about some specifics of how we can do that. But with all of this in mind, when we start getting back into the world, first of all, you want to do it slowly and kindly. Do it as if you're recovering from an illness, because it's in a way, it's like PTSD. Some of the symptoms can be like PTSD. And in fact, it may actually be for some of us. So don't jump in headfirst into a big, you know, huge crowd party every night. Just take it easy and just what you're comfortable with initially. Remember that others are also relearning and they may not be aware that that's what's going on. So other people may be more touchy and you may not know why someone is irritable. Give them some slack. They might come, like I say, shaking a hand because they're so glad to be able to get back together and they just haven't thought about the fact that someone else may not feel comfortable about that. So a bit of patience and empathy with other people will be helpful. And have compassion for yourself. This sounds funny to say out loud, but we might make mistakes. We might chit-chat with someone and say the wrong thing because we're not used to it anymore. We might tell the person in the grocery store about, you know, the funeral we just had to attend. Or, you know, we might try and make a joke that turns out to be offensive and we have to apologize. That's okay. It's part of relearning. And it will come back. It's not like learning a new skill. It will come back, but we have to work back into it. So what can we do specifically? Well, we can, first of all, titrate your activity, right? So like I said, don't jump into everything all at once. Think about what you want to do if you suddenly have a lot of opportunities. Everything's opening up. Everyone's saying, let's meet for a drink. Let's go to this concert. Let's go do that thing. Don't feel like you have to say yes to everything. Even if you used to always be able to do that much all the time, don't exhaust yourself, you know, in the first weeks out. So take it slowly. When it comes to the small talk, and the not even the small talk, the deep conversations also, unless there's a particular reason to, I would suggest avoiding COVID, politics. What is the third thing? Oh, and I noted climate in terms of there's a lot of bad news around right now with forest fires and this and that. Don't avoid those topics if that's what you want to talk about, but don't bring that into your small talk. If you can, because we need to be a little more positive and we need to enjoy our small talk or we're not going to want to do it. That's something you can do there. And then plan ahead of time. Think about how you're going to respond to things. Somebody is going to ask you, how are you doing? It'd be good to have an answer to that that you feel is honest, but appropriate, that you can pull out if you suddenly get tongue-tied. Like, I'm doing pretty well considering what's been going on, or, you know, whatever. But it's good to have a sort of default response. And you don't want to lie about it. Right, you don't want to pretend you're good if you're not. But you want to remember that people that ask you that, and I'm not talking about when you're talking with people you know really well. That's not an issue for us. But you know, when you're standing in line and you see someone you haven't seen for a year at the grocery store, and they're not your best friend but they're an acquaintance, and they say, "How are you?" Do you really want to tell them all the details of how you are? No, but you don't want to pretend either. So think about what you can have up your sleeve in that sort of situation. Think about how you want to greet people. You know, I don't think I want to go back to shaking hands. After the flu epidemic in 1918 through 20, the public education, the health education message was trying to get people to not shake hands anymore. And it didn't work. People went back to it. But even then, they recognized that it's not, even if there's not a pandemic going on, it's not always the healthiest thing to do. So you're going to do the elbow thing. You're going to, you know, do that. You're going to make something up. Think about what you feel comfortable with. And think about what you're going to do when someone approaches you who's going beyond what you feel comfortable with. What are you going to do when someone shakes your hand or tries to shake your hand? Are you going to say something back to them or just offer them your elbow or what? You know, so that you're not stuck in an awkward situation because you've thought about it. This is actually funny. I was in an article I read suggesting that you think ahead of time of small talk topics that you can bring up when nothing is coming to mind because we're not used to it. And the suggestion in this article was, if you really want to brush up on your small talk, watch some reruns of Seinfeld. Now, I've never actually watched Seinfeld, but apparently that show is all about talking about nothing of importance. Oh, so apparently they can spend 10 minutes talking about the size of a salad. Oh, as I say, I haven't seen it, but it sounds like a fun way to renew my skills in small talk. But that, you know, think about that sort of stuff ahead of time so that you're prepared. Seinfeld? Spell it out. Yeah, I was actually living in England when Seinfeld appeared, so I missed that. And then the last thing in specifics is what we're going to do next week. Okay, but probably because of all the small talk, right? What we're going to do next week is assess the past year. Be sure, as you're going out into society, to assess what works and what doesn't. If you're going to think ahead of time, I'm going to try and do this or that or say this and that, and it doesn't work, you want to try and think of some alternatives, and that's sort of obvious, but assessing your plan is always or your strategy afterwards is always a good step to have. Now, we are a meditation group, so I am happy to offer some meditation strategies to help with this re-entry process. Oh, wait a minute. I've just lost Uncle Don, which I think means that I have it set to hide. There we go. Hide non-video people, but then I can't see if they're there. So meditation strategies. The first one is what we call bookending. And this involves a short micro hit before and after something. So let's say you're going to go into the bank for the first time and speak to a real teller. You might want to sit in your car and do a minute or two of some technique. Could be a rest technique. It could be loving kindness to yourself technique, something like that. You go in, you do your banking, come back out, you're going to have some sort of a reaction. Either that was a pleasant experience or that was not a pleasant experience. Do another couple of minutes when you sit in your car before you drive away of the same or something different. If you're having a very strong reaction, maybe you embarrassed yourself or you're angry at the person next to you in line or something, you might want to do a feel in or a loving kindness. But just have the short micro hit on either side of an activity that could be triggering or awkward. Now, you can't always do that because you don't always know when you're going to walk into that sort of an opportunity or that sort of a situation. But if you do know, then that's a great thing to do. Another thing that's great is to do a background meditation, possibly of a loving kindness technique, either for yourself or for the other person. So you're standing in line in the grocery store and you're getting irritated at the person behind you because maybe they're standing too close or something. try just doing a little background loving kindness as that's happening. Or you're talking to someone and you're feeling awkward. Do some loving kindness for yourself in the background. Just imagine giving yourself a hug or something as that situation is going on. So a little background practice in the middle of those situations can be helpful. And then I like to have a go-to micro hit. So if I ever find myself in a position of I'm being reactive and I need to just, I've got 30 seconds, I got to do something. I don't want to spend those 30 seconds trying to figure out what would be a useful micro hit to do right now. I have a default micro hit. And for me, it's the breathe and relax. Focus on the relaxation in my out breath. And sometimes one breath is enough. If I have 30 seconds, I'll do that for 30 seconds. Now, if something else comes to mind, like, oh, I really want to do, see out because there's a beautiful something in front of me that's going to calm me down, then go ahead and do that. But have a backup so that if nothing comes to mind, you can go straight into a micro hit in a short period of time and then get on with what you're doing. So those are a few meditation strategies we can use. I think loving kindness for ourselves is really important right now. Being gentle as we go back in. Now, some people are going to be able to jump in with both feet into the deep end. And that's great. And if any of you can do that, that's great. But not everyone will. So let's be kind to ourselves and to others as we all try and rediscover how to socialize together. So any thoughts or questions about that? Okay, as I said, next week we're going to look at what can we learn from the past year and bring that forwards. So for example, maybe we don't want to go back to the same amount of socializing we were doing. Or maybe we want to do it differently. So that's what we'll be looking at next week. And that's what I have to say about that.